From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Noah Lennox, known to Animal Collective fans as Panda Bear, has an album of new material about to come out. The album's called Tomboy. We'll have that entire album on our site beginning April 4th, part of our First Listen series. Today on All Songs Considered, Panda Bear plays guest DJ. Noah Lennox was in Baltimore at the end of February working with his Animal Collective buddies. He drove down to our studios here in Washington, D.C. to talk about Tomboy and to play us some of the music he loves. I asked him to remember some of the earliest music he ever bought.
It could have been a couple of things. One thing I remember was a record called Flood by They Might Be Giants.
Oh, yeah.
That, there's some like quirky, kind of weird songs on there that as a young person I was pretty into. But I specifically remember going to the mall in Baltimore with my brother to pick up the Nirvana album.
And that album must have been Nevermind, right?
Yes.
And you were
the second one.
Do the math. What year were you born? I'll help you. We got calculators here at NPR.
I was born in 78.
All right, so you were 13. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 13's a good year to buy music. Let's play, pick a cut from Nirvana. We'll come back and we'll talk about it. What do you want to play?
I can choose anyone.
We recently did a 90s show, so pick anything but Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Okay, I'm going to go with my favorite song called Breed on the album.
Excellent. Good one. Do you feel, have you heard this in a while? You put Nirvana on these days?
Not too much. On tour, it's a very popular thing to listen to.
And I'd like to play something from Tomboy. Tomboy is a record that's just about to come out. And I want to see if you can draw any threads, any lines from one or the other.
No, you can't get on me.
One voice that went from one ear to the other. What was that?
There's a bunch of kind of swirling samples that are going on sort of in the background of that song. That's probably what you're listening
But the
to.
Sampling, it sounded like a voice. Was it your voice? Was it?
It was not mine. It was from a movie, actually.
And would you not want to say so because of copyright violation?
Yeah,
okay, audience, help us figure it out. Can you hear any connection?
Thinking about it right now, I was actually considering if I took that song and sped it up, took off all the kind of washiness of it, it might sort of resemble, put overdrive on everything.
I mean, I think those lyrics about here's something you can do or something you can't do, which is, you know, you can buy a house and you can buy a car and you can do this. We don't have to breed. And we don't. That's almost, that could be your rhythm of lyrics, yeah?
I'd have to be pretty angry about it, though.
Yeah. Your lyrics are usually not that at all. They're
I still remember what the guy at the record store said to my brother and I when we picked it up. He was like, he was giving us our receipt and he goes, play it loud.
Yes. What record store was it? Do you remember?
It was at a mall called the Rotunda.
I know the Rotunda Mall.
You remember there was a record shop in there. I can't remember what it was called. It was a chain, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it was a chain. It was the Wall.
Good. You're here to play DJ. I'd love to hear more music that either you listen to day to day or things that you've been inspired by. Pick me something.
Okay. I'll go with my friend Dave. He goes by Aviter, and it's a song called Oliver Twist. It's off his latest record called Down There that just came out last year.
He saw what he would look in the rock and see what was in there, and I guess that day he saw a spell. One of his dark days.
I can't.
Do you guys share these songs as you're writing them at all, as friends?
No, not so much. I mean, when we're working on songs for the band, we do a lot. Although this most recent time, we started from pretty much nothing, but usually we'll send tracks around and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. There is something about your music, Animal Collective's music as well, Dave Portner's music right there, that it almost feels to me at times that there's a lot of it's implied, that a lot of the band happens in my head. Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense to you? Where some of the beat that you're just doing with a thump of whatever this it might be is gluing it together, but in my head I can almost hear other rhythms happening. Mm-hmm. And because of so much music that we listen to has all that beat, but you guys tend to strip that stuff out.
Yeah, we especially on the rhythmic side of things, I feel like we usually keep it pretty minimal. I think that's partly an inspiration from a lot of electronic music and club music and how kind of strict a lot of the rhythms sound and just the repetition of it and the kind of trance of it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's a kind of simple gateway into having the music feel like it's taking you to like a different place.
We'll play a song of yours and let's come back and talk about how you even start a song And then maybe even know how when it's done. And do you work fast or slow? Let's play... do you have a favorite that you might want to play?
I would play Last Night at the Jetty.
Okay. Whole cut online for people to hear the whole thing.
Sure.
It's kind of like a little street corner symphony. I mean, imagine three or four guys standing on a corner. Maybe their finger snaps are a little louder and reverb, but that's what it feels like to me.
That's a cool way to think about it.
This is all you, everything here, right? Mm-hmm. So where do you start with a song like that?
Well, I chose that one actually because it had a really odd sort of way that it came about. The song originally was, well, I guess it, the first thing was just the rhythm of it. I kind of laid that down and I was like, I want to write a song to this rhythm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get just a little more specific, which is that you've played drums, but is this all electronic?
This is all electronic, yeah. Yes, except for the guitar.
Okay.
But even that's fed through electronic
stuff.
Effects. Yeah, all sorts of garbage. So after I had the rhythm, then the song just was that, basically the middle section of the song. And I kind of sat with that.
When you say the middle section, could you just hum?
There's a sort of like a weird vocal breakdown in the middle, and that was originally the start of the song. That's how I was going to start it. And then there's another repeating vocal thing towards the end of the middle, and that was going to be the end of the song. And then one night, right before I went to bed, I just kind of started thinking of this little melody, and the whole first part of the song and the last part of the song.
Okay.
And I realized that I could kind of splice the two together because they were sort of in the same, I don't know what the technical term is, but mode or scale or something like that. So I went quickly and got my little voice recorder thing and recorded it, because I always forget stuff like that.
You mean you recorded a note to Noah?
Just that little melody, and the next day I went in.
Splice melody.
It took some work to fit it together in a way that I thought was harmonious, but a bunch of the songs on this record especially were kind of pieced together like that. I feel like that's why I often need a lot of time to write songs.
I was wondering if you were a fast worker or a slow worker.
Usually I feel like my best songs are really, really fast.
So do you ditch stuff if, like, you're working on something and it just goes nowhere? Or do you hide it away somewhere on a hard drive? Or you?
I have...
All those.
Sometimes I'll have multiple kind of versions of a song, or I'll start recording and then realize that it's really not so good. And just kind of try to think of it in a totally different way. Like the Alsatian Darn song on the latest record had a whole another section in there that I just thought was kind of lame after a while. So I took it out and condensed the whole song.
Let's play another one of your picks. I'm here with Noah Lennox, Panda Bear. New record's called Tomboy, and he's playing DJ, so what you got?
Okay, now I'll go with the Spectrum song called How You Satisfy Me.
And Spectrum is who?
Spectrum is the project of a musician who goes by Sonic Boom. His real name is Pete, but he is the guy who I handed off my mixes to. And he...
You must like this guy.
Very much. I only met him in person the very final day of mixing this past January.
Wait a minute, you handed off your mixes to a guy that you only met?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was it about him that you could say, hey, here's my heart and soul, and would you take care of it for me?
The last record that I did, I put a big list of influences and inspirations in the booklet.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote to me one day, he emailed me one day.
He was one of them, I assume.
He was one of them, yes. And he wrote to me one day saying that he'd heard the record from a friend of his, and he was into it, and he was happy to see that he was listed there. And we had tried to set up some shows, but it never really materialized. And then originally I had figured that Dave and Josh from Animal Collective would mix this record, but due to scheduling things, eventually that fell apart. The day after that fell through, he emailed me about something else, and I thought maybe, you know, he would want to do it, and he was down to do it. And then since that day, which was probably the end of November, this past November,
mm-hmm.
We sent 5 or 6 emails a day, just, you know, he really wanted to know what all the lyrics were, what all the songs were about, how I thought about all the songs. We really went deep into the matrix with it.
I'd love to see those, and I bet a lot of other people would. But
they're pretty intense emails, some of them.
Do you ever want to do a blog post with a couple of email
maybe
things? Just let us know.
He has a really intense email style, too. It can be pretty... you got to kind of decipher it sometimes a little bit.
When you say intense, it could mean a lot of things. Maybe there's something specific he said to you that, like, you'd say, that's definitely Sonic Boom.
He'll do a lot of little plays on words and stuff like that. He has very colorful email language.
Good. Let me hear your inspiration, Sonic Boom, the person who you trusted your mixes to. What do you want to play?
A track called How You Satisfy Me. It's by his project called Spectrum.
Great.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. It kind of, it has this like, some of the underground bands that were coming out in the late 60s and so forth, the Seeds and groups like that. It has that very garagey feel, but it's much more modern than that. This time period on this?
90s, I would say.
Cool. So how did you know this song, and what's your attachment to this one?
I first heard it in a kind of strange roundabout way. Chris Freeman, my friend, who does live sound for me and for Animal Collective, he used to, in backstage, he would always play this. It's on YouTube. I think the video is really amazing too.
Just a quick description of the video for those driving in their cars that can't get to YouTube right away.
It's really like kind of overwhelming, intensely colorful, lots of sort of superimposed imagery, and he's kind of there with like a mirror. It's great. It's really great. Really good.
And the Spectrum, and you used to play this before Animal Collective shows?
More for the Tomboy shows. All last year I was playing the Tomboy songs live.
And Tomboy, the name, locking in on a name of a record is a tough thing. There's a song called it, so that will help, but...
After I had written maybe four or five of the songs, the lyrics for four or five of the songs, I kind of started to realize that a lot of the songs seemed to be about something that was... in conflict with itself, or something that represented two sort of opposing forces. And so the Tomboy sort of became this umbrella sort of image for all the songs to me. And I think Tomboys are pretty cool. And the word looks nice when you write it out. So I thought it would be a good title.
There's something very diametrically opposed in your music. And I understand that you did this record, not so much a home studio, but a very... sort of dark, dingy basement, dark, dingy, right? Would that be an apt description?
Yeah, that's accurate. From the time that I did the last record, which I did just in my apartment, really, to this one, I finally found a studio space in Lisbon where I live. It's down in the basement of this big, I guess it used to be a newspaper printing plant or something, but now it's just artist studios and dance studios and stuff like that, but... We're way down in the basement there. There's no windows or anything like that.
I've been to Lisbon, Noah, and you could have picked a prettier spot.
Yeah. Well, I feel like people there, they know when they have a really prime spot.
I see. No one's giving up.
They don't really come up on the market too often.
How does location, how does space, both gorgeous city, one of the oldest, most beautiful cities in the world, dark basement, play into what you're doing, writing words, thinking about it when you go to your... home with family? How does that all...
Well, it would be really difficult for me to say that or to argue that it didn't have any effect, because when I listen to the last record and this one, they really represent the spaces that they were made in to me.
If you say that, what would the difference between Person Pitch and this record, if you thought about those two differences and thought about the space, how would you describe that, those differences?
Well, the last one, Person Pitch, is really kind of open sounding to me and very sunny, and I made that in our apartment in Lisbon.
Which apparently had windows, I assume.
Yes, yeah. big windows, and out the back you can kind of see pretty far, and you can see a little bit of the river there and the bridge and stuff. And there's like a real sense of distance there. And there's something about the last one that feels more like it's a, you know, something that you listen to with other people, or it's more like a community sort of sound or something. And this one, the new one, which was made just in this kind of small room down in a basement of this big building, big old building with no windows, and I was always down there pretty much all day by myself, and that's really how the music sounds to me. It's very like a solitary kind of vibe to it.
What else do you have to play for us?
Next I'll go with a track by a guy named Zombie. That's Zomby. He's British.
Not to be confused with Zombi.
Yeah, not the walking dead people. And it's a track called Godzilla.
We'll be right back.
sort of very dubsteppy sound, very kind of definitely club music, and definitely kind of that clipped percussion, a lot of arpeggiation on the keyboards, which I assume is you hold down three keys and the machine sort of says, I'll go from A, C, and E, and A, C, and E, and I'll do that over and over again. You know? It's got a great sound. Do you go to clubs?
I used to, not so much anymore. But what I really like about it is it kind of feels like it's just constantly changing, but it's not at the same time. Like the chords, it does the same thing over and over again, and it's just repeating, but he's always tweaking one little thing about it as the song goes.
Somebody ought to dubstep Philip Glass. Just saying.
Maybe you should do it.
Okay. I'll get right on that. Do you know much about Zombie?
He's a pretty mysterious character. There's no pictures of him, at least none where you can see his face. I don't think I've read any interviews with him. He did a Animal Collective remix, so I've spoken a bit with him. We send emails every once in a while, but I'm a big fan of his music.
Do you like that anonymity? Does that appeal to you?
It does. I guess I try to do it as much as I can.
You're not Zombie, are you?
No.
Okay.
I wish.
You've picked a lot of contemporary artists. Some people can't listen to contemporary music when they make their music.
A lot of them.
You drink this stuff.
I find it most interesting to see what's going on right now. I feel like I hear a lot of music through other people that's older, and I like that too, but especially if I'm choosing a mix for radio or something. A lot of these people are my friends too, actually, all of them except for Nirvana, so I wanted to represent my friends if I could.
Yeah, that's good. So give me an example of on Tomboy, how Zombie might have crept into you, so to speak. Yeah, go there.
Well, that Godzilla track, I feel like it's repeating the whole time, but it's also moving, and something's slowly being tweaked the whole time, and there's a kind of like a movement to it, and a track of mine called Slow Motion does a very similar thing. It's kind of repeating there's a drum loop, but what the singing is doing and the chords and stuff is kind of constantly changing as it goes.
When you make music, we'll get to Slow Motion just a second, but when you make music like this and you're working on this all day and you're in this dark room and this music is repetitive and transporting and transfixing and all that stuff, do you ever lose sense of time?
Sure. I mean, if it's going well, I do. Yeah.
Do you know when a song is done? Are there elements that happen to you as the writer of this music, as the as you see it unfold, that you say, nailed it or got it?
Well, it's kind of exactly what you were talking about when you lose sense of like you're in a room and time is passing. When you stop thinking about all of that stuff, I feel like that's when I know that the song is kind of like it's finished or it's ready for somebody else to experience it.
Excellent. Let's listen to Slow Motion.
Yeah.
You know, for all that your sound is rich and big, you don't seem to be working with a whole lot of stuff. You know, you minimal on the words, many of the things repeat. Do you find it helpful to restrict yourself? Because, you know, electronic music, there's a whole world there, right?
Well, on the latest record, it was sort of an intent to try to strip things down as much as I could. Because on the last one, I was kind of throwing everything I could at the song.
I think I heard the kitchen sink.
Yeah. So I wanted to focus on, like, I thought of it as a triangle where my voice is at the top. And the guitar stuff was on one side, and the drums was on the other. And I really wanted to structure every song just around that triangle, in the hopes that just concentrating on that, hopefully it would pack sort of more of a punch that way, rather than being this kind of thing that floated around the room. So that was the idea behind that.
Now, you say guitar. I'm going to just pop this up just a little bit, turn this up just a little bit. What's the guitar?
It kind of sounds more like an organ in this song.
Uh-huh, sure does.
But it's the kind of thing that's going... I don't want to sing it, I'm too embarrassed. But
okay.
But it's the thing that sounds like an organ.
Okay. And can you just... the sorts of processors you like for... I'm a geek and we have a couple others.
On that one, it was... I'm just playing chords on a guitar, and it's fed through a... The main effect is a pitch shifting effect that sends it about an octave down.
Is it the POG?
Or,
you know, the electroharmonic.
All the effects were in this. I had this little sequencer box called a. It usually comes with a keyboard attached to it, but I only got the module part of it, where you kind of have to input everything, hitting buttons or twiddling knobs or something like that.
Which one is it? Is it like line 6 or something?
It's called the M3.
Okay, so this is a Korg?
Yes, yes.
Cool.
And there's like an effect matrix on that thing where you can go through, I think, a total of five effects. And for pretty much every song, I would use all five of those. It would kind of go from... It would start with like a compressor or something, and then I was really into chorus effects for whatever reason, but almost every song features some sort of wobbly chorus effect on it.
Very cool. So you're in Baltimore, are you with friends, are you working on any projects, you're recording?
Animal Collective is working on new songs for a live set for performance.
Oh, that's great. So what do you do when you get together and play? Do you have a rehearsal space? You do it in someone's basement? You
know? Well, for the past 6 years since I moved away, it was always about sending around kind of demos of songs, and then everybody would sort of arrange their sounds and their kind of get basic parts down and stuff like that. But this time, we figured it might be sort of fun to try to just start from nothing and all be in the same city for once. So that's pretty much what we did. We had kind of basic ideas about what we were going to play and the instrument set up, but beyond that, we really had nothing at all.
How's it coming?
Slow but steady. I think we'll be ready.
That's great. Take us out on something, Noah Lennox.
Okay. The last track I'll go with is by a guy named Dent May. He's from Mississippi. And we met him just being around town in Oxford, Mississippi, where we recorded a record called Meriwether Post Pavilion, and wound up just hanging out with him and his friends pretty much every night or every other night while we were recording that thing. And it's a track called Eastover Wives.
Great. Thanks. This is going to be very different than everything else, and a nice thing to go out on.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks very much for having me.
Be well. Noah Lennox, better known as Panda Bear, his entire new album, Tomboy, can be heard on our website beginning April 4th. The album comes out a week later. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.
Be careful what you're waiting for. watch a whole lot, money don't move so fast. Cause something's gonna happen to you when you wear that gown. If you're from my town, under pressure.